Please open your Bible to the book of Acts and the second chapter. A while back, they took a survey which showed that the confidence of the American people in the American president was at an all-time low. Congress gloated. Until they took another survey that showed that the confidence of the American people in the Congress was lower still. In these days of individual freedom and independence and do your own thing, institutions and organizations are quite automatically suspect. Who would have dared criticize the CIA or the FBI 50 years ago? Who would dare defend them now? In these times when organizations are suspect, we are met this morning in a church which is an organization. No wonder we, and especially the young people among us, sometimes wonder, why in the world do we have a church? We could worship at home, we could pay our tithes where we please, or spend our money on ourselves. We see too many mistakes in our leaders, we see too much hypocrisy in our members. We say, I'll just drop the kids off for Sabbath school and go home. Why a church? I want to suggest an answer to that question this morning. Why a church? Because surrounded by love, we learn to love. Surrounded by loving Christians, we learn to love Christ. Is that any better or worse? Surrounded by love, we learn to love. Why a church surrounded by loving Christians is God's plan for teaching us to love Christ. Ladies, please forgive me. Babies are not born loving. Love is learned behavior. There is no creature on the face of this earth more self-centered than a newborn baby. Wakes up in the middle of the night with a plumbing problem. The baby says, well, mom and dad had a hard day. I can wait until daybreak. Not on your life. Baby does not care about comfort of mom and daddy. Baby cares about baby's comfort. Frankly, this is what it means, I think, to be born in sin. We're all born self-centered. Bring baby to church, and baby feels a vacancy in the pit of his stomach. Does he say, well, poor old preacher, he's having enough trouble as it is, I can wait till 12 o'clock. All your life. He doesn't care whether it's an audience of 2 or 2,000. Baby cares only about baby. Now, we are all born with a potential for love. We're all born with a need for love. But love is learned behavior. So how is this baby going to learn to love? God formed, forgive me, an institution. And the name of the institution is home. And there in that home, picked up by daddy and kissed by mama and fondled over by grandma and grandpa and aunts and uncles and cousins by the dozens, surrounded by love, the baby learns to love. And if the baby grows up in a home where he's not surrounded by love, he may never learn to love. But don't you see the church is the same way? A new Christian. How is this new Christian going to really, truly, completely learn to love Christ? Here it comes again. God formed an institution. And the name of the institution is church. And you bring that baby Christian into a church where he's surrounded by love, and he will develop more and more love for his brothers and his sisters and his Lord. And that's a part of God's plan. Now go back to that baby again. Becomes a teenager. And if in this institution called home he does not find love, that baby is going to go out looking for it someplace else. Because all of our lives, we are all of us, perpetually, unceasingly, seeking for love. And you bring this baby Christian into the Valley View Church. If that baby Christian does not sense love and fellowship and support, the baby Christian will also go someplace else. Because all of our lives, all of us are looking for love. Now, the church is not the idea of pastors or church hierarchy. The idea of church is God's idea. It's a part of His plan. It's His institution for teaching love. God uses organization. And you can look down through your microscope until you focus, even if you could, on the individual atom. And what would you see? Precise, predictable organization. And you trade your microscope in for a telescope, and you can point at any place you like in the heavens. What do you see? Precise, predictable organization. And in these times when organizations are suspect, we had best understand that our God is a great organizer. If God is going to do something, He's going to use an organization in the process of doing it, and that's what He's done with the church. Acts, the second chapter, and the 47th verse. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. The Lord added. Adding people to the church organization is a part of God's plan. God adds people to the church. And whom does He add? Our text says, those who were being saved. There is some relationship then between church membership and salvation. If there's somebody here this morning who's outside the church, I invite you to come in. You can become a Christian without becoming a church member, but you're not likely to stay a Christian. Because we need what the church offers, and that is fellowship and love and acceptance. And any church where this is found will be a successful, growing church. Church today is like the ark in Noah's day. Now, the ark was a very imperfect boat because it was made by a man, and him a preacher. But when the flood came, it did the job of helping God save His people because the ark was a part of God's plan. The church is made up of imperfect people. But it will do the job of helping God save His people because the church is a part of God's plan. I have the privilege of being married to a very lovely lady. I'm also married to a lady with a very delicate nose. She can step into our home and smell a sour washcloth clear back in the back room. And to go buy a feedlot is terribly undesirable. Any of you fellas married to a nose like that? Did you ever wonder if Noah was? Just what kind of a problem do you suppose Mrs. Noah had if she had a nose like my Dafina's nose? After all, there were a lot of animals in the ark. Plumbing was then the same as it is now. And I don't think the ventilation was any too good. I would even suggest poor Mrs. Noah perhaps never could have stood the stench in the ark if it were not for the storm outside. I apologize to you for the imperfections inside the ark, inside the church. But be honest with me now, it's nothing compared with the ugliness outside the church. There is a blessing, but there isn't a curse in being a second, third, and fourth generation Adventist. Having spent your whole life inside the ark, you think it's the only place it smells. Let me illustrate. You went to church school, maybe RVAS, and some kid, maybe even some teacher, was just downright ugly mean to you. Now, this would have happened to you in a public school, and you would have blamed the public, but because it happened to you in a church school, you blame the church. This is why, folks, every church congregation needs to have an ongoing program of evangelism. We need perpetually people coming in from out of the storm into the ark, because invariably they will tell us how much nicer it is in here than it was out there. Christ loves His church. He even calls His church His bride. In Eden, Adam slept. His side was open. And Eve emerged. At Calvary, the second Adam slept. His side was open, and the church emerged. As Eve stood before Adam in Eden, oh, how he loved her. As the church stands before Christ today, His bride, oh, how He loves her. Be very cautious about criticizing the church, because you're criticizing Christ's bride. And no good man takes it lightly when you criticize his bride, even if she deserves it. Turn, if you will, over to the book of Ephesians and the 5th chapter. What is a Christian? I want to suggest that a Christian is simply someone who loves Christ and wants to do as Christ did. Now, both parts are very important. It has to do with relationship and it has to do with behavior. A Christian is one who loves Christ and simply wants to do as Christ did. Would you agree? Isn't that a Christian? When our eldest son was maybe 4 or 5 years old, we were gathered at his grandpa's house. We were in the backyard, hot summer day. Sprinkler was turning on the lawn. Little boy had on his swimsuit. Grandpa had on his old clothes. Grandpa thought it would be great fun to tease the little boy into running through the sprinkler. And so he'd say, "Terry, okay, now come, let's go, real fast." And Grandpa would lead the way, but at the last moment, not really wanting to get wet, he'd turn aside, hoping little boy would go on through. Didn't work. Grandpa turned, little boy turned. "Come on now, let's run real fast, let's get real close." Once more, he tried to turn as sharp as he could. That little guy could outturn his Grandpa any day. There was only one thing for Grandpa to do, and that was to run through the sprinkler, and the little boy gladly followed. Isn't that the story of a Christian experience? Where Christ turns away, we turn away. Where Christ goes, that's where we want to go. We can settle this whole business of church by simply finding out what Christ did, because that's what we want to do. Ephesians, the 5th chapter and the 25th verse. "Husbands, love your wives." That's just thrown in extra. "Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave Himself up for her." Two things we learn about Christ in the church. First of all, He loved it. Reform it, brother, but only if you love it. Contemporize it, but first love it. Revive it, only after you love it. Too many of us that love position and power and getting our own way more than we love the church. That's not Christ-like. To be Christ-like is to love the church first. And then the other part of our text, you notice, he loved the church and gave himself up for her. May God bless those of you who love the church so much. You're giving your time, your talent, your means, and giving yourself up for the church. Because when you give yourself for it, according to our verse, then you are being Christ-like. Well, what is a church? I hope you don't misunderstand me, but it's important. When you have remodeled your church and it's a beautiful place to worship, it's very important to realize that a building is not a church. Another thing, a church is not a group of perfect people. Jesus' own church leadership group, take a look at the 12, were terribly imperfect. If the church wasn't perfect then, you'd hardly have any right to expect it would be now. But those of you who are inclined to find fault with the church and with things done in the church, I have learned in my years a dramatic lesson. Very often, what you see in others is mostly a reflection of problem within yourself. Kind of a silly story about a fellow went to his doctor. He said, "My wife is losing her hearing, but she refuses to be tested. Claims nothing's wrong. What can I do?" The doctor said, "Well, go home and perform your own little experiment. Just stand at different distances and speak to her and see how close you have to get before she can hear you." Sounded good. So he went home. And his wife was in the kitchen preparing supper. And so he stood, first of all, clear across the house, about 30 feet away. And he said, "What's for supper?" No answer. 20 feet. "What's for supper?" Still no answer. 10 feet. "What's for supper?" 5 feet. "What's for supper?" Whereupon his wife turned around, put her hands on her hips, and said, "For the fourth time, potato soup." So many times when we find fault with other people, the fault is really within ourselves. And next time you criticize some brother, remind yourself that maybe the real problem is within yourself. And when you criticize some sister, and when you criticize the leadership of the church, and when you criticize the young people, remind yourself of that foolish story. When we criticize others, when we look for fault in others, it usually is because it is a reflection of a fault within ourselves. One other thing, by the way, that a church is not. A church is not a hierarchy. Jesus said the relationship between those in the church is not of master and servant, but of what? Brother and sister. Never let your pastor take over the church. The church is not created as a hierarchy. So what is a church? What is the purpose of the church? First of all, I would suggest that the church is a body. Turn, if you will, to 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter. The church is a body, a group, working together to help others love Christ. That's what a church is. It's a body people working together to help others love Christ. 1 Corinthians 12, verses 25 and 26, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. What is a church? It's a place where people enjoy each other. When somebody is honored, and this is really the tough test, when somebody is honored, it just makes me happy. When somebody else gets more attention than me, it's great, because it's all part of the same body. It's a powerful illustration that Paul is using. When I was a little guy back in Iowa, and you know, in time you can't trust your memory too much, but it seems to me I went all summer long barefooted. And most of the summer with one or more stubbed toes. Remember what it's like to stub your big toe on the hot concrete sidewalk? Yeah, it hurts. But I learned a beautiful theology from this, because every time I'd really stub my toe good, I got a tummy ache. Now, even on a little kid, it's quite a little ways from your toe to your stomach. But that's the way the body works. When one part of the body hurts, Paul's illustration now, one part of the body hurts, all the rest of the body sympathizes with it. That's what a Christian church is for. A church is a group working together to help others love Christ, supporting one another. What is a church? A church is a place for healing the hurts of life. A church is a place for healing the hurts of life. I was teacher and pastor at Union College for many years. As a pastor, as we visited our sick members at Bryan Memorial Hospital, they gave us the card necessary to slip in the slot and park in the doctor's parking lot. And then we would go in the back door of the hospital, which was the emergency area. And as I would go in to visit parishioners, I would go by the nurse's station. The nurse's station was all in glass. And on the glass, somebody had fastened a huge stop sign. And on it, it said, "The pain stops here." Pretty good motto for the emergency room of a hospital. Could we honestly put that on our pulpit? The pain stops here. Young and old, rich and poor, male and female, sinners all, you're welcome at Valley View. The pain stops here. Now, hospitals are expensive. You may have heard that. But people keep right on going to the hospital because people never stop going any place that stops their pain. My wife fell down the basement steps, landed with all of the weight on her left wrist against the concrete wall at the bottom of the stair. The wrist was not only broken, it was a terrible break. The bone came right out through the flesh. The pain was excruciating. We got her into the car and headed for Bryan Memorial Hospital. And I kept seeing that sign. The pain stops here. It'd be all right if I could just get her to the emergency room of Bryan Memorial Hospital. And as we drove in, nurses came out. Medication was administered, and sure enough, the hospital kept its word. The pain began to go away. Because it was a serious break, probably because it was many years ago, they kept her in the hospital for several days. But can you believe it? All the while that she was in that hospital, never once did one doctor or nurse or orderly ever bawl her out for falling down the stairs. Frankly, we knew falling down the stairs was not a good idea before we ever got there. Sometimes the church thinks that its business is to bawl people out for falling down. When people fall down, what they need most is not correction. They need hope that they can stand up again. And that's what a church is for. The pain stops here. So the church is God's idea. It's His plan for teaching love. Surrounded by love, we learn to love. Surrounded by loving Christians, we learn to love Christ. I want to leave you this morning with the story of the African cattle, some of which have the instinct when the lioness is on the prowl, instead of running, they will form a circle, horns pointed out. And inside that outer circle, an inner circle, the very young, the very old, the very weak, the very sick, the very ones the lioness is after. But all the rest of the herd, standing between, saying, "These are ours, you cannot have them." I think that's a beautiful picture of a church, don't you? So what decision do we each need to make this morning? If there's someone who's not in the circle, get in. That's where Jesus is. That's a good place to be. And if you're already in the circle, won't you pray a little special prayer as we look forward to our meeting this evening? That what God will show you some way that you can get busy in the circle. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for the idea of the church. I pray that our Valley View Church will be a place that stops people's pain. Because nobody ever stops going anyplace that stops their pain. Fill us with your love. And then may we share that love with whatever gifts you have given each of us to win others for you. Make, I pray, this place a place where surrounded by loving Christians, men and women, boys and girls, learn to love Christ. It is our prayer this morning in His name. Amen.